The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, and also with you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand upright. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound for 18 years long, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Given that this week has been GCSE results week, and last week was A-level results week, and the equivalent for those who took different things, it always amazes me that we expect 16 to 18 year olds to know what they want to do in terms of working in a particular field for the rest of their lives. The world is not like it once was, so a career for life, while still exists, there is also opportunities to switch careers during your working life. Did you know at the age of 16 what job or career you wanted to go into? I'm sure some of you, there's a few nods, there's a few yeses, there's a few blank faces. I'm always amazed when people know that they want to be a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer from a certain age, and then go out and do that. Me, I was on the other end of that scale. I had no idea. At the age of 16, leaving school with my not so great GCSEs that I possibly should have revised for and not watched sport on TV, I surprisingly had no idea what to do next. I mean, it was a good year for sport. I watched a lot of cricket, I remember that, and tennis. So I tried my hand at being an apprentice electrician for a year, and then I left that and went to work in various shops, bounced around a few jobs for a while before I found work delivering car parts to garages. Yes, I was a white van driver, although that then gave me the ability to be able to reverse park anywhere, because if you can do that in a long wheelbase transit van, you can do it in a car. I then went on to working in churches as a children's and family worker before ordination. For me, there's a lot of could have done this, could have done that, could have tried my hand at this, but actually God had other plans for my life. In our reading from Jeremiah this morning, verse 7 tells us that Jeremiah is just a boy, which many commentators believe to mean he's actually a teenager. He's not quite a child, but he's also not an adult either. And yet, he is called by God to be a prophet to the nations for the next 40 years plus. His career choice has been sorted out for him in one conversation with God. If only it was that easy for the rest of us. Although, to be honest, I would not have wanted to swap places with Jeremiah. He did not have an easy time of it. For some reason, the lectionary reading that we had misses out the first three verses of chapter 1, where we read that God came to Jeremiah in the 13th year of King Josiah, which was around 627 BC. Jeremiah's prophecy went all the way through to 582 BCE, by which time Jerusalem had fallen into the hands of the Babylonians. And we read that, and we know this, because in chapter 39 of Jeremiah, it tells us exactly that. That in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, they marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. On the ninth day of the 4th month of Zedekiah's 11th year, the city wall in Jerusalem was broken through. The fall of that Jerusalem was dated around 586 BCE or thereabouts. And so Jeremiah was a prophet all the way through when that happened. And it wasn't an easy time. He didn't live in a place where there was peace. The Assyrians and the Babylonians were against one another, looking to overthrow each other. And Egypt was looking to form an alliance with the Assyrians. The Babylonians were looking to take control of Jerusalem, which they eventually did. And in the middle of all of this, we have Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping or the mournful prophet, who writes in laments and poetry and prose in his book. It's not a book in the Bible that is filled with good news and great joy, but it's one of lament and sorrow. But as always, there are glimmers of hope found in there. So we have the background of the time that Jeremiah was living in. But let's go back to our reading from chapter 1, where God is calling him, which is very similar to how others are called in the Bible. Verse 4 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying," Jeremiah had a divine encounter with God at the start of his ministry as a prophet, as many others did in the Bible. If you were here last week and you read the heroes of faith being read out in Hebrews chapter 11, many, if not all of them, also had a divine encounter with God. Verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." There is a word of identification from God about knowing who Jeremiah already is and knowing who he is. The biblical language for this would be he's appointed, he's set apart for a particular role or for a particular job. And even David, who wrote the Psalms, wrote the same thing. He writes in Psalm 139, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Being known by God was again something that was talked about and heard about and written down. So Jeremiah had a divine encounter and a word of identification from God. Before the commission followed, "Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." The role for Jeremiah is to be a prophet to the nations. But as with so many other characters we read about in the Bible, there's a pushback to what is being asked of them. An objection, because they're not the right person for the job. Jeremiah 2 does this in verse 6. "Then I said, Our Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." You might recall that Moses too used the same, "I don't know how to speak," when questioning God about being chosen. So we have a divine encounter, a word of identification, a commission, and then the objection to that commission, to which God replies, "Do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And to finish it off, we have God's divine reassurance that he will be with him no matter what. So Jeremiah goes from a boy stroke teenager to the end of his life, where he's probably a 50 to 60 year old man. And the book of Jeremiah follows that period of his life. And yet always, as always, with the people that God calls, Jeremiah is a conflicted character. He's chosen for a global mission, to be a prophet to the nations. And yet, he's uncertain of his abilities and his standing within the community. But what shines through is his humility, and that becomes the area that God uses. So many times in the Bible, God calls people into roles that they don't feel capable of doing, that they don't know how to do. And yet God equips them and reassures them of his divine presence. Lewis Stoltman writes that God uses us in our own human frailty. God doesn't call us to be perfect or to say the right thing every time, or in fact to be somebody that we're not. Stoltman writes of Jeremiah, "When the crossfire of the great empires of the Tigris, Euphrates, and the Nile bring Judah to its knees, God sends a weak and conflicted prophet to help the people of Judah through their turbulent times. God does not choose a strong, self-confident person for the job, but one whose weakness and doubt to some degree paralyze him. And yet, at the end of the day, this weak and conflicted prophet confounds the strong and the proud. Human frailty leaves an indelible mark on the book." God calls us to be us, to be the person that he has created us to be, and not to try and be the person next to us or someone we admire, but actually just be us. Jeremiah lived in a time where there was turmoil, siege, war, exile, and struggled with what was being asked of him. And it's within that humanness that God used him. So we may not in this country be living through the siege of war or in exile. We may have always known what we wanted to do with our lives, or we may be still figuring that out as we go. But either way, God is in it with us and will use us as we live our lives out here on earth. I read a quote once, which always stuck with me. "Be yourself, because no one else is qualified." Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.